Amid the vibrant pages of the Bible, the figure of Jeremiah emerges, a prophet whose life is a tapestry of passion, challenge, and divine fervor. From a very young age, Jeremiah was chosen by God to undertake an extraordinary mission, warning and bringing hope to the people of Israel during a period marked by unimaginable turmoil. In this video, we will delve into the epic journey of Jeremiah, from his prophetic call filled with divine revelations to his courageous confrontations with kings and imposters claiming to be prophets. We will explore how his visions of the new covenant not only challenged the status quo, but also laid the foundations for spiritual renewal. Jeremiah was no ordinary man. He was the son of Hilkiah, a priest of Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. His life and ministry were woven within the historical context of Judah in the 7th century BC, an era of profound spiritual and political crisis. Chosen by God, Jeremiah became the divine spokesperson, announcing judgment and urging the people to repent. The book of Jeremiah opens with a transformative moment that defines the entire course of his life and ministry. In the first chapter, we witness Jeremiah's divine call, where the depth of the connection between God and his chosen one is revealed with words that resonate through the ages. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you," declares the Lord in Jeremiah 1:5. This verse not only underscores Jeremiah's singular purpose from before his birth, but also God's sovereignty over the lives of his chosen servants. Despite this exalted calling, Jeremiah faces a whirlwind of human emotions. He reveals his fear and insecurity, feeling inadequate for the grand task assigned to him. "Our Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am a youth," he confesses in Jeremiah 1:6, reflecting the hesitation many feel when confronted with immense challenges. However, the divine response to this uncertainty is both a promise and a provision. God assures Jeremiah that his presence will be constant, a source of strength and protection. "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you," assures the Lord in Jeremiah 1:7-8. This assurance is a central pillar, not only for Jeremiah, but for all who are called to follow a divinely ordained path. Jeremiah's consecration as God's spokesperson is sealed in a profoundly symbolic and powerful moment. As narrated in Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord stretches out his hand, touches the prophet's mouth, and declares, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." This gesture is not merely symbolic, but an act of endowing Jeremiah with the divine authority and inspiration necessary to fulfill his prophetic ministry. He is now an instrument of God, entrusted with a mission that will alter the course of nations and kingdoms. The scope of his mission is outlined in the following verse. "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." These words highlight the dual nature of Jeremiah's mission, a combination of judgment and restoration. As a prophet, he is called both to warn and to bring hope, reflecting the aspects of destruction and renewal that characterize the divine message. After accepting his call, Jeremiah begins to receive visions from God, revealing the depth and urgency of the message he must deliver. Jeremiah's visions are laden with prophetic significance and offer insights into the future of Judah. One of these visions, described in Jeremiah 1:11-12, involves an almond branch, the first tree to blossom in spring. God uses this image to symbolize the readiness with which he will fulfill his words of judgment. "You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word." The second vision, detailed in Jeremiah 1:13-14, is of a boiling pot, tilting from the north, symbolizing the impending invasion and disaster that will come upon the land, a clear reference to the Babylonian threat. This visceral image of the boiling pot foretells the trials and challenges to come, highlighting the critical importance of Jeremiah's mission amidst the turbulent historical events of his time. The visions received by Jeremiah not only serve as grim warnings for the people of Judah, but also fortify the prophet with a profound understanding of the gravity and urgency of his mission. By revealing the imminence of judgment, God not only instructs Jeremiah to be a faithful messenger, but also prepares him for the inevitable resistance he will face. In Jeremiah 1:17-19, God speaks with unwavering authority, instructing Jeremiah to gird up your loins and face adversity head on. Arise and speak to them all that I command you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I dismay you before them. This language not only confers a mission upon Jeremiah, but also shields him with the promise of divine protection. God assures that despite the attacks and opposition from the kings of Judah, its princes, priests, and the people, Jeremiah will remain unshaken. Jeremiah's strength is compared to that of a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls, symbolizing his unwavering resilience in the face of challenges. This powerful image underscores the certainty that, although confronted, Jeremiah will not be defeated. For, "I am with you to deliver you," declares the Lord. This divine promise is not just a guarantee of safety, but also a reminder of God's constant presence by his side. As Jeremiah embarks on his prophetic mission, he is armed not only with visions and warnings, but with a clear understanding of the critical importance of his message. The preparation he receives from God encompasses spiritual and emotional aspects, equipping him to face adversities while proclaiming God's word to a people who have strayed from his ways. Armed with divine visions and unbreakable promises, Jeremiah begins his prophetic mission with a message that resonates with the urgency of the situation. He warns Judah and Jerusalem about the consequences of their persistent idolatry and blatant disobedience. His proclamation is direct and powerful. God's judgment is at the door, and only sincere repentance can avert the impending destruction. In Jeremiah 2:2, the Lord, through Jeremiah, reminds Jerusalem of an earlier time, a period of youthful devotion and conjugal love, when Israel faithfully followed God through the desert in a barren and unexplored land. This verse is a poignant reminder of the initial relationship between Israel and God, marked by dependence and genuine fidelity, a sharp contrast to the current state of forgetfulness and infidelity. God's accusation deepens in Jeremiah 2:13, where he laments that his people have committed two evils. They have forsaken him, the fountain of living waters, and hewn for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. This potent metaphor underscores the folly of the people in exchanging the true source of life for fragile and faulty substitutes that cannot sustain their spiritual and physical lives. Jeremiah also exposes the corruption and injustice infesting Judah. In Jeremiah 5:1, he describes a vain search for justice and truth in the city squares, an effort to find at least one righteous man. This effort proves fruitless, illustrating the deep moral depravity that has spread among the people. The persistent idolatry of Judah constitutes a central theme in the prophet Jeremiah's warnings. In an act of direct accusation in Jeremiah 7:9-10, he describes the people combining pagan religious practices with the worship of God, an unacceptable mix in the eyes of the Lord. "Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know, and then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, 'We are delivered to do all these abominations'?" This false sense of freedom to persist in wrongdoing reflects a grave disconnect between the people's practices and divine commandments. Therefore, Jeremiah not only exposes these actions, but also warns of the inevitable consequences to come. The warning becomes even sharper in Jeremiah 4:6-7, where the threat of an invader from the north, identified as Babylon, is described as an instrument of divine judgment. "Set up the standard toward Zion, take refuge, do not delay, for I will bring disaster from the north and great destruction." Jeremiah's messages, however, meet with resistance and hostility. As he proclaims the divine words, he faces rejection from his compatriots who refuse to acknowledge their sins and change their ways. The hostility intensifies among religious and political leaders who see Jeremiah as a threat to the status quo and seek to silence him. In this scenario of growing opposition, Jeremiah remains resolute and faithful to his mission. His hope is that by continuing to proclaim God's impending judgment, the people will finally awaken to the reality of their errors and avoid the predicted destruction. Jeremiah's story is marked not only by his courage and faithfulness, but also by the intense trials he faces. One of these trials is vividly described in Jeremiah 20. 2, when Pashur, the priest and chief officer of the house of the Lord, beats Jeremiah and puts him in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. This act of persecution highlights the resistance of religious authorities to the prophet's unsettling message. The continuous opposition drives Jeremiah into a state of deep anguish and internal struggle, as expressed in Jeremiah 20:7-8. Here Jeremiah opens up about his emotional conflict. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I, and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. These words capture Jeremiah's torment, feeling overwhelmed by the task entrusted to him and the ridicule he faces. Despite this intense adversity, Jeremiah's compulsion to speak God's truth proves inextinguishable. In Jeremiah 29, he describes a moment of near resignation. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. This internal fire is so powerful that despite his desire to avoid further suffering, Jeremiah cannot remain silent. Jeremiah's journey is profoundly marked by challenges that transcend public and religious spheres, reaching even the most personal realms of his life. The opposition he faces is not limited to religious authorities. It extends to his own family and neighbors, revealing a plot of betrayal that strikes at the prophet's heart. In Jeremiah 11:18, God himself reveals to Jeremiah the plots against him. Now the Lord gave me knowledge of it, and I know it, for you showed me their doings. The comparison of Jeremiah to an innocent lamb brought to the slaughter illustrates his vulnerability and the cruelty of his conspirators' intentions, who plan to eliminate not only the man, but also the legacy of his message, seeking to cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be remembered no more. In the face of such extreme adversities, where even those from his own community turn against him, Jeremiah's faith could easily waver. However, it is at this moment of crisis that the divine promise of protection becomes an anchor for his resilience. In Jeremiah 15:20-21, God reaffirms his commitment to Jeremiah. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you from the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem you from the grip of the terrible. This assurance from God not only strengthens Jeremiah in his mission, but also serves as a powerful reminder that even in the most challenging circumstances, God's presence provides an unshakable strength. As Jeremiah continues his mission, the severity of his messages intensifies. He proclaims a devastating prophecy: the destruction of Jerusalem and the subsequent captivity of Judah at the hands of Babylon. This prediction not only sounds the alarm for an impending calamity, but also serves as a call for the people to accept their fate as a direct consequence of their disobedience and rebellion against God. In Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 3, the prophet details the historical context of his message, which occurs in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, and in the first year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Jeremiah emphasizes that for 23 years, since the 13th year of Josiah, he has been incessantly communicating the words of the Lord, but his warnings have been consistently ignored by the people. The word of the Lord has come to me from the days of Josiah until today, 23 years, and I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, but you have not listened. Jeremiah then prophesies that Judah will be taken into captivity in Babylon for a period of 70 years, as described in Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 11. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland, an object of horror, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. This specificity not only marks the duration of the exile, but also offers the people a future hope of return and restoration after this period. Continuing his mission, Jeremiah delivers a message that demands not just acceptance, but deliberate obedience to the divine will, even in challenging circumstances. He exhorts the people to submit to the yoke of Babylon, seeing this as an act of obedience to God's command. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 6 and 7, he reveals that God has deliberately handed over all lands to the dominion of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, described as my servant, emphasizing that Babylonian domination is a divine instrument for executing judgment. However, Jeremiah's message meets strong resistance, particularly from false prophets who proclaim an alternate reality of peace and security, in blatant contradiction to Jeremiah's warnings. One of these confrontations occurs with the false prophet Hananiah, as narrated in Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 14. Hananiah promises the people that the Babylonian yoke would be broken in just 2 years, a promise that offers temporary consolation but is based on falsehoods that only fuel disobedience and illusions. Jeremiah, steadfast in the truth revealed by God, responds to Hananiah with a severe proclamation of his falsehood. He warns that Hananiah was not sent by the Lord and that his prophecy of hope is a dangerous lie, leading the people astray. In Jeremiah chapter 28, verses 15 to 17, he declares the divine judgment on Hananiah. Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will remove you from the face of the earth. This year you shall die, because you have preached rebellion against the Lord. Indeed, Hananiah dies in the 7th month of the same year, validating Jeremiah's words and demonstrating the seriousness with which God treats those who mislead his people with false promises. Despite the challenges and constant hostility, Jeremiah continues to be a faithful spokesperson of God's message, emphasizing both divine justice and mercy. The veracity of his prophecy is dramatically confirmed by Hananiah's death, reinforcing the seriousness of speaking falsely in God's name. Amid conflicts and persecutions, Jeremiah remains steadfast, proclaiming future promises of hope and restoration. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 10 and 11, he conveys one of the most beautiful promises of the Old Testament. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to give you hope and a future, plans of prosperity and not of disaster, to give you an expected future. This promise of restoration offers profound consolation to the exiles, reaffirming that despite present circumstances, God's ultimate end is peace and goodness. Beyond words, Jeremiah is instructed to perform a symbolic act that foreshadows Israel's future restoration, the purchase of a field in Anathoth, his hometown. This gesture is narrated in detail in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 6 and 7, where Jeremiah recounts that the word of the Lord came to him, informing him that Hanamel, son of Shallum, his uncle, would come to him with an offer to buy a field in Anathoth, for Jeremiah had the right of redemption to purchase it. This act not only symbolizes Jeremiah's faith in God's promises, but also serves as a tangible sign of hope for the people. The land, currently under the yoke of conquest, will one day flourish again under the hand of its rightful owners. Amid the turmoil of war and the imminent fall of Jerusalem, Jeremiah demonstrates unwavering obedience to divine instructions. The purchase of the field in Anathoth, as detailed in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 9 and 10, is not just an act of faith, but also a meticulously documented procedure. Jeremiah buys the land from Hanamel, his cousin, carefully weighs the money, 17 shekels of silver, and conducts the transaction in the presence of witnesses, ensuring that everything is legal and officially recorded. This act is not trivial. It is a symbolic gesture of hope and a public testimony of Jeremiah's unshakable trust in God's promises. After the purchase, God clarifies the meaning of this action to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 14 and 15, he instructs the prophet to store the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy and the open copy, in a clay jar, so they may be preserved for many days. This symbolizes a clear message from God. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses, fields, and vineyards will again be bought in this land. This divine affirmation assures that despite the impending devastation, there will be a future of restoration and normalcy where land transactions will once again occur. However, even with such assurance, Jeremiah is plagued by doubts and seeks confirmation and understanding in prayer, as reported in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 16 and 17. He acknowledges God's sovereignty and power, the creator of heaven and earth, but struggles to reconcile the imminent destruction with the promise of future restoration. In his prayer, Jeremiah expresses, "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you." God responds to these concerns in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 26 and 27, reaffirming his omnipotence. "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" This powerful reminder that God controls all things serves to reassure Jeremiah that despite the desolate circumstances and seemingly insurmountable challenges, God is in control and will fulfill his promises of restoration. Through Jeremiah, God not only prophesies destruction due to the people's disobedience, but also subsequent restoration as a manifestation of his grace and faithfulness. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 37 and 38, the divine promise is clear and filled with hope. "Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God." This statement reaffirms God's enduring commitment to restore not only the land, but also the relationship with his people. Jeremiah's purchase of the field in Anathoth becomes a potent symbol of hope and trust in God's promises. This symbolic gesture not only demonstrates Jeremiah's faith in the divine word, but also offers the people a concrete vision of a promising future beyond the adversities of exile. Moreover, in the context of the Babylonian exile, Jeremiah sends a letter to the Jews already exiled, offering guidance and words of hope. The letter, described in Jeremiah chapter 29, is a fundamental document that sets the tone for the life of the exiles in foreign lands. Jeremiah instructs the exiles not just to survive, but to thrive in Babylon. "Build houses and dwell in them, plant gardens and eat their fruit, marry and have children, increase in number there, do not decrease. Seek the peace of the city to which I have carried you into exile, and pray to the Lord for in its peace you will have peace," narrates Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 5 to 7. This practical advice is crucial for the exiles to maintain faith and focus on a future return while contributing to the welfare of the society they now live in. Jeremiah encourages them to put down temporary roots, engage with the local community, and promote prosperity and peace, both for themselves and their Babylonian neighbors. Jeremiah continues his mission to guide and strengthen the exiled people, warning them against false prophets who proliferate deceptive messages of premature liberation. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 8 and 9, he warns, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord." This warning is essential to keep the people vigilant and realistic about the duration of the exile, avoiding false hopes that could lead to disillusionment and despair. In contrast to false prophecies, Jeremiah reaffirms a divine promise of hope and restoration in Jeremiah 29:11, a widely known and quoted verse, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This promise offers a comforting vision and purpose, even amid adversity, reminding the exiles that God has a benevolent plan for their future. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles not only instructs them on how to live during captivity, but also on how to maintain an active relationship with God. In Jeremiah 29:12-14, he encourages, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." This assurance strengthens the faith of the exiles, affirming that exile is a temporary phase of purification and preparation for future restoration. Jeremiah's letter to the exiles becomes a fundamental resource for those living far from their homeland, offering them guidance to live with purpose and maintain hope during their exile in Babylon. He reminds them that even in a foreign land, God remains present and has a carefully orchestrated plan for their future. Jeremiah urges the exiles to seek the peace and well-being of the city where they have been taken, emphasizing the importance of being a blessing even in the most challenging times. At the height of his ministry, Jeremiah delivers one of the most significant and revolutionary promises found in the Bible, the announcement of a new covenant between God and his people. In Jeremiah 31:31-32, he prophesies, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." This new covenant promised by God through Jeremiah differs radically from the Mosaic covenant, which was broken by the people's unfaithfulness. The new covenant will be characterized by an internal and personal transformation, as described in Jeremiah 31:33. "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Unlike the old covenant, which was written on tablets of stone and frequently broken, the new covenant will be inscribed on the hearts and minds of the people, indicating a more direct, personal, and intimate relationship with God. This promise implies not only external obedience, but a profound internal transformation, where God's will aligns with the people's inner desire to follow and honor him. The promise of a new covenant brought by Jeremiah signifies not only the physical restoration of Israel, but also prophesies a complete renewal of knowledge and relationship with God. In Jeremiah 31:34, the divine vision is clearly articulated. "No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." This passage promises direct and personal access to God for all, eliminating any barrier between the Creator and His created. The assurance of complete forgiveness of sins and divine forgetfulness of past faults reinforces the depth of this new relationship. Moreover, Jeremiah 32, 37, 38 reiterates God's commitment to gather his people from the lands of their exile, bringing them back safely to their homeland. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. This promise reflects not only physical restoration, but the reconstruction of a secure and enduring relationship between God and Israel. The culmination of Jeremiah's prophecies with the promise of the new covenant offers a vision of hope and redemption for the future. This new covenant aims for a profound spiritual transformation, where God's law will not only be written on stone tablets, but will become an integral part of each person's inner life. This new pact is not just a response to past failures, but a significant advancement in the spiritual journey of God's people, marking a more intimate and personal relationship with the Creator. Through this transformative promise, Jeremiah offers a renewal of hope amid adversity. Despite exile and destruction, God assures his people that their relationship with him will not only be restored, but also elevated to a deeper and more meaningful level. The new covenant underscores God's unwavering grace and faithfulness, who, despite his people's unfaithfulness, remains committed to redeeming and completely renewing the relationship with them.